Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Revelation chapter 7, verse 16.
Hallelujah. He's our Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. You have to know that, and I'm thankful for that. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon this thankful Thursday. We so happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer. And also include my son, who had the virus, but God is able, and we're believing that him and his wife, they're going to be totally healed. And I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And, Pastor, what was the name of that selection you played?
Oh, that was Jehovah Jireh by, I'll think of it in a minute. I'll tell you at the end of the broadcast.
Thanks, Pastor. Amen. Well, I enjoyed that. And the script I'd like to share is coming from 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we want to say thank you, Father God, for all things, Father God. And Father God, we're praying for Pastor's son and also his wife. We're praying for them, Father God. And we know you said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. And we're praying for total and complete healing, Father God, that you may get the victory, that you may receive the glory, Father God. Lord, bless all those who are sick and shut in, Father God. We know that if they stay determined and meditate on your word day and night, the scripture says by your stripes we'll be healed. So, Father God, we're going to stand on your word, not only for ourselves, but for each and every one that's standing in need of a healing, Father God. Lord, we're praying for those who are going through. We know you're a way maker out of no way. You said you're going to supply all of our needs according to your riches in heaven. So, Father God, help us to believe that your word is faithful, your word is true, and there's nothing impossible for you to do. Bless that you would be with those who are bereaved today, Father God. We know you said you'll keep the imperfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So help us to stay focused on the word of God, knowing that your word will never lead us down the wrong path. May we ask the Holy Spirit into our life to guide us and teach us and open up our hearts to the word. Bless that you will bless our pastor and all those that are listening and those that participate, Father God, be with us all, pleading the blood of Jesus on each and every one, binding up anything and everything to try to come up against us, to try to hinder us from receiving God's word. And we just ask that you will have your way in our life, that we will be lights to shine to bring lost souls to you. As your scripture says, we are peculiar people, and we just want to remain faithful to your word, Father God. Now, Lord, bless us as we receive the word today, and be with each and every one in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And brothers and sisters, today is Thankful Thursday. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're so thankful. We're so thankful, Pastor, for that prayer and for you just letting God use you, and I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. That song is entitled Jehovah Jireh by Jalen Carr, I'm sorry. And it's on an album that's called Changing Your Story. And it's a beautiful album. I believe anything gonna help the body of Christ, we need it. Jehovah Jireh, that's your provider. No matter what you're going through, you gotta know he's your provider. Hallelujah. Again, today is Thankful Thursday, and we're thankful for the scriptures. We're thankful for you all, and also we're praying for those that are listening by internet. We're standing in agreement with them as well, especially Sister Keith. Hallelujah. We are in agreement with her as well. Hallelujah. Okay. Broadcast is open. Anyone have a scripture they want to be thankful for or something they want to share on this journey? Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Pastor. Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Thank you for kicking off our Thankful Thursday with Jehovah Jireh. Everything should be invested in him. And thank you, Pastor, for that beautiful prayer that always is genuine and heartfelt. Anyone who loves Christ could feel your prayers on a daily. In 1 Corinthians 3:9-16, I'm thankful for this scripture because it fills my spirit. And the King James reads, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which means wisdom teaches, but which man teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Who have known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." Thank God, and I'm so thankful for that scripture. It's as a reminder that God has instilled this in us before the world was even here. He ordained this for him. But these are for the people that love him, that obey him, that have obedience towards him, that know that we are not to follow the wisdom teachers of man, and that we are to follow our spirit, and that we are one in Christ, and that's where we should be. And one baptism, one God, one resurrection, and one truth, the truth, and that is Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else have something you want, a scripture you want to be thankful for? That one always fitting, as far as I'm concerned, because that's what we are. We're spiritual. We're spiritual beings having human experiences, and we're not to be overthrown in the desert. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I'm thankful for the scripture that we shared on yesterday, praise God. That's from Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 20 and 21, I'm sorry. And I'll be reading it from, I'm going to read it from both, from the King James and also the Message. So from the King James, it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And from the Message Bible, it says, "Jesus, grilled by the Pharisees on when the kingdom of God would come, answered, the kingdom of God doesn't come by counting the days on the calendar, nor when someone says, look here or look there, it is. And why? Because God's kingdom is already among you." Amen. So when I was reading over that scripture, and I have to read it more than one time, and as I was reading that, I noticed, well, what came to me in the spirit was that verse 20, it says, "And when he was demanded," so it's letting me know that the Pharisees came to Jesus and they demanded that he should tell them when the kingdom of God would come. And the Message Bible said he was grilled by the Pharisees. So it doesn't matter. All the pressure that they tried to put on Jesus, he did not back down. And I like that, because he just let them know the kingdom of God is not going to become where you can see it and you can put your hand on it. That's not what that's not the kingdom of God. And so it just let me know how, you know, bold Jesus was. No matter what was going on around him, he always stayed on track. He always stayed focused on his mission, what he had to do. And so no matter how much they grilled him, no matter what, how much they ridiculed him, he just stayed focused on let the people know, and letting us know even today, that the kingdom of God is already among us. And so I just thank God for the word, and thank God for the revelation, and thank God for bringing it, having pastor to bring that out also. So yes, I'm thankful for God's word. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, when you look at this scripture, you have to see all the revelation that's involved in here. And to understand what had just happened is so important. Because what had just happened, Jesus had healed a Samaritan. But the Bible called it a stranger. Because after he had healed all 10 of them, the one that came back was a Samaritan. A stranger that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have no dealings at all.
That's
now,
right.
Now, the Pharisees saw this. They go, uh-oh, what Jesus finna do here? You done started a ministry that we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to know, after Jesus had healed this man, They was always trying to catch him in something. Remember over there in, where was that in Mark? Let's go to Mark 3. In Mark 3, and I think the second verse. Well, you can go 1 and 2 if you like.
Praise God. In the King James, it reads as follows. And he entered again into this synagogue, and there was a man there which had withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him or, heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And from the Message Bible, he went back to teaching by the sea. A crowd built up to such a great size that he had to get into, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. Then he went back in the meeting place where he found a man with a crippled hand. The Pharisees had their eyes on Jesus to see if he would heal him, hoping to catch him in a Sabbath infraction. He said to the man with the crippled hand, stand here where we can see you. Amen.
Yeah, see what was going on. They was always trying to trip Jesus up so they could find a way to accuse him of doing something wrong. But Jesus ended up telling the people, well, I know it's a Sabbath. I understand that. I want to know from you guys, is it good to do good on the Sabbath, or is it bad? So when he shut them up, they couldn't say nothing. What they were going to say, it's bad. It's wrong to do good on the Sabbath. They couldn't say that because their law didn't allow that. So Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath. But when you understand this word, observation, and what it really means over here in Luke, when Jesus telling them, it won't come through observation, they was trying to see with their natural eyes what Jesus was doing. And and this word observation in the Greek really means to observe with hostility. In other words, they was hostile toward Jesus. So when the Messenger Bible said they were grilling him, the Pharisees, they was being hostile toward him. That was the normal thing that they did because they was always trying to catch him in something. But in Luke 17, this is a verb that used really only here, and it represented the evil watching. They see they watch with evil. That's why I took you over there to Mark and see. They was watching with evil. They were trying to see how they can catch him. They was hostile toward Christ. But over there in Luke 6, because I want you to know that the kingdom of God was not going to come. And if you understand this, the true church, you can't see it through the optical nerve. You won't see it like that. But they was upset because they didn't know what Jesus was doing. And they wanted to try to get the hand on thing because here this man up here healing people that they know he ain't have no business healing. And they trying to say, wait a minute now, Jesus, what you doing on the Sabbath, that ain't cool. But they was being hostile again toward him. So if you would say, read Luke 6 and 7, well, we'll read that, because I want you to see that. I want you to see how they were always trying to be hostile or hostile toward Christ.
In the King James, it reads as follows. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. The religious scholars and Pharisees had their eye on Jesus to see if he would heal the man, hoping to catch him in a Sabbath infraction. Amen.
Yeah, they were very hostile toward Christ, but not understanding. See, they weren't understanding what was really going on. Or they couldn't understand what Jesus was. So Jesus, hey, my kingdom is not going to come through observation. You're not going to be able to see it through the optical nerve. Why? Because God's kingdom or his church or his government is not like the world government. These Pharisees asked when God's kingdom would come, not knowing that it had already arrived. The kingdom of God is not like earthly kingdom. So geographically bound them. See, that's what an earthly kingdom does. Geographically, it bounds you. So this is another reason, because they couldn't see it. And if you understand this word, really, if you understand the definition for this word, you'll get an awesome lesson here. This definition for the word observation is to see so you can understand, or to see with understanding. And Jesus said, you won't understand this. You'll see it, but you won't understand it. You'll hear it, but you won't hear it. In hearing, you will not hear. So you go back to Isaiah 6, and you'll see this very thing that Jesus was telling them about. They got eyes, and they can't even see it. Ears, and they can't even hear it. And go back to that scripture that Evangelist Sharon read. See, these are spiritual things, and they can only be understood through the Spirit. That's the only way. They wasn't in the Spirit of Christ, like a lot of people today. That's how they see the church. They don't see the church, man. They can't see it, because God says it's not going to come through observation. It ain't nothing you can see and understand, or nothing you can see and explain it. You got to get the whole revelation here. And this revelation is that they wanted to see for themselves. And it was about like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see this. See, they wanted to know, well, where it's going to come from, when it's going to come, how it's going to come. They wanted the whole nine yards. And still today, we must resist looking to institutionalize God's church so people can see. That's what they want. They want to be able to see the church. And you can't see the church.
No.
Can't see it with your optical nerve. This is the truth, brothers and sisters. So, now to prove it, I remember over there in Matthew 16, when Jesus asked, he said, who the Son of Man, who they say I am? Who? What they talking about when it come to me? John said, they all had something to say. And then finally Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. You didn't get that from a billboard sticker. You didn't get that out of no book. My Father, which is in heaven, revealed that to you. See, that's the only way you don't know the church. God got to reveal it to you. You can talk to people till they turn purple, till they turn blue. They ain't going to get it. Unless God builds his church, it won't be built. And it have nothing to do with brick. It have nothing to do with marble. Sand, wood, 2x4, 2x8, 2x6, concrete, sackcrete, mortar. It has nothing to do with none of that stuff. Hebrews 8:1-2. You can go and read it for yourself. The church that God pitched had nothing to do with man. And remember what Jesus said over there in Ephesians 5? I just love that scripture, man. I am so thankful for that. And you have to see it in the spirit, brothers and sisters. This is what Christ did for his church himself. He made a glorious church. Remember? That's what he did. He gave gifts unto men so he could have a glorious church, a true church. That's what God wants. He wanted a glorious church. So why? So he could present it to himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Man can't produce that. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can sanctify the church through the cleansing or the washing of the church through the word of God. That's how that happens.
Amen.
That's how that happens. But I'm thankful. I could give y'all a lot of scriptures, but I do want to say this, because I said I was going to say it every time, because people, I want everybody to get this revelation knowledge when it comes to the church. Just remember what the church is not. The church isn't where you meet. The church isn't a building. The church isn't what you do. The church is who you are. The church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ that's in you. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So let not go to church. Let's be the church. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, and also 1 Corinthians 3:16, where he said, know ye not that you are the temple, and God's spirit want to live in you. He don't live in no brick. The true church is the spirit church, okay? And that's the true church. It's the body of Christ. Not members of a church, but the true church is made up of believers, regardless of their skin color, regardless where they came from. The true church is an organism and not an organization. The true church. So with that being said, y'all have a blessed day.
Hallelujah.